The family of a local teenager says she never would have left home without calling.
Just praying for the best. I want my daughter home, man. And if she can't come home, I just want to know, is she there?
These posters around the towns of Livermore and Jay beg anyone with information to come forward. Posters that Richard puts up every spring, never losing hope.
Tell me what happened to my daughter. Just look me in the eyes so I can see her.
An arrest in a nearly four-decade-old cold case, thanks to cutting-edge DNA technology. The arrest happening exactly 39 years to the day
when Parabon Nanolabs used that sample to create 3D models of the suspected killer's face.
It's heartbreaking. We miss her, and we're going to find her. We're going to keep looking till we do.
It's like a never-ending nightmare. It doesn't end. It keeps returning and coming back.
And we're live. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And that is our new intro and headphone warning, I guess, should have come before that. We didn't realize how loud that was going to be. But thanks to everyone watching. And thanks to everyone watching it back as a recording.
Yeah, maybe we can. Oh, what just happened? Okay, maybe we can make a donation to the hearing fund. All right. So tonight we're joined by case researcher Carrie Lynn, and she's going to discuss the Serenity Denard case, missing from South Dakota, February 3rd, 2019. Carrie, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you don't mind, Carrie, can you tell us how you got interested in this case and then kind of begin the case on who she is and her background, if you wouldn't mind?
During that time, actually, you know, I was actually on bed rest, and I have a daughter just about her age, and I was like, just going through the whole case, was just so interested because I wanted to find her. You know, there's this girl that's missing in this very small state. You know, we don't have people go missing, especially a little girl. So when, you know, that was very interesting to me, and I've just been keeping along with it, studying, making sure that, you know, something, I have all the right information, and following along to see if, you know, maybe I could help in some way.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I contacted you. I reached out to you. I saw your posts on her page and how much effort you've been put into her case and trying to share the information about her. Can you tell us who Serenity Denard is?
Well, she actually was, an amazing little girl. Little girl's absolutely amazing. She actually was born on May 12th in 2009. She actually was born to her parents. Let's see here. It was Rihanna and Devin. You know, this was actually Rihanna's fourth child, but she absolutely loved this baby because her other three was taken by the state. So she decided that she was going to be sober with this baby. And when she did have Serenity, she was drug tested, and so was Serenity, and she was sober. So they let her go home with her. So about 4 months into it, unfortunately, she was having money problems, and she ended up getting arrested for actually stealing formula and diapers.
Oh.
So since she was on probation at the time, they pretty much threw the book at her. After that, she got 10 years. So,
for stealing formula and diapers?
Yeah, but she was on probation. So
oh, okay.
So,
still,
you know,
wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, she was trying to do right by this daughter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was sober, but she wasn't making it. Like, she wasn't making it with any of, like, it's like financially, her and Devin, you know, they just weren't making it. She was living with her parents. And I think also her parents kind of had some kind of substance abuse problem as well. So I think that's also a factor that went into that. When she went to jail, Devin had to take care of the baby. So he was in and out of jail. And then I think he got like a 30-day stint. And Serenity went to her mom's, her mom and dad. You know, these people who have a substance problem. So they wanted, on Christmas Eve, they wanted to go and do whatever they wanted to do. And they left her with Serenity's paternal grandmother for Christmas, like Christmas Eve to Christmas. And the only problem was is Devin's mother is schizophrenic. Oh. And the cops show up on Christmas with her just in a diaper, full diaper, pen all over her, and her yelling that the neighbors are trying to kill both of them. So DSS was called and she was taken. So after that, that was probably about 18 months old. She was about 18 months when she got taken. And then from there, she actually was trying to go back. Like, her family's trying to get them back. She had to do certain things and it just wasn't working. So they actually took the rights away from her parents about that time, around that Christmas, a little bit after, I'd say January.
Was there no family members that were willing to take her in?
If they did, they had a substance problem. From what I got from her birth mother, she had told me, or told on the interview that she was doing, that the reason why they didn't allow her parents to take Serenity is because they were both felons. So, yeah, they're both felons, and they let's just say they from even I mean they've even helped her mom, like Serenity's birth mother, when she was in jail. She had court, and her Serenity's grandparents left a thing of chew in the courthouse for her to get, and they caught them all doing it. So her parents, Renny's grandparents, served a year. Both of them served a year and had $1,000 fine for doing this.
So they child endangerment.
No, well, no, that was, it was just for helping a prisoner out for bringing chew to them. So they both went to jail, so there was no way they could take her. And so when she went into the foster system, they were like, there's no one here for her. So they took their rights away. They're like, no. And then that's when she started going into a multiple foster system, including that children's home. She first went there when she got taken away. And she stayed there for a little bit. But like, I would say it was probably between 18 months and 4 years old. She was in 12 different foster homes. So getting passed around and passed around. So, you know, and that's probably where her RAD kind of started, which she had the reactive attachment disorder. With that, it's a condition that you, their child doesn't form like a healthy bond, and they won't any bond with anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. You could be their best friend, and they just have problems like just, attaching to someone or relating to someone. They don't manage their emotions really well, and hence that's why she also got diagnosed with it's a DMDD, it's a disruptive mood disorder, and she just couldn't regulate like her anger, and it's like severe irritability. So she kind of had some issues that she needed to deal with herself because of this. Now,
and you'd kind of expect that for a kid that would go through that many places, not wanting to attach to anyone because, you don't know if tomorrow is the last time you see him, right? You can't be surprised that she would develop that at all.
Yeah, she didn't develop any kind of relationships with anybody. The only time she actually did was when she actually got placed with the Dunards. That's when she got placed with them, and she was like on cloud nine. She was going around the neighborhood having friends, just like a normal kid does, riding her bike, doing things like that. And then when they ended up adopting her because they thought this was great. You know, she's making great progress and, you know, it'll be great. Let's adopt her. Well, they adopted her and she started going backwards. Like, because she started getting that attachment disorder, like, oh no, it's getting too serious, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So, but, like, it was weird because they adopted her in October, okay? And by January, they were divorced.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Did they ever say this? Was it the stress of her that caused the divorce?
It's been speculated. Because once they did adopt her, she just went, you know, doing little crazy stuff, but mostly running away. And what she would do is she played it as a game. She would run away and watch everybody looking for her. Then she'd move out a little bit and then she'd watch everybody looking for her. She wanted to know that someone cared.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what her dad said, like her adoptive dad said that. She just enjoyed it. Like, she was very good at it. She was very sneaky. You know, she that was her favorite game. And she used it as her game. And, you know, and that's part of, you know, her showing that, you know, oh, people do want to love me. And I think it has a lot to do with also what had happened with her adoptive parents, too. You know, it wasn't great, especially because he remarried in May of that year.
Yeah, and the picture I showed is actually his new wife, right? Or is it?
Yes, that's Cassandra. Yes.
That's how old was she when this was going on, when she was running away?
Oh, she has been doing it since she was four. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Longer, like within like area range, or sometimes she'd hide in the house. Sometimes, you know, when she was younger, she'd hide in the house, you know, seven or eight, she'd hide, you know, around the area, you know, but she could always see you. So,
I had read that her father said that sometimes strangers would bring her home and then they never reported the police, but they reported to her counselors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why she ended up in this home, right? Can you give us a little update on this home? Like,
yeah, with the home, she actually the reason why is she kept, you know, they had a new baby at this point, you know, Cassandra and everybody else, and she had three siblings, step siblings, and it was her three step siblings, her, and they had this new baby. And it was starting to, you know, she wanted to know if someone cared, you know, and it started getting worse and worse. And these kids can be manipulative and, you know, start stuff. I'm not sure if it was like that with her, but, you know, it's pretty common. But so when she got put in, let's see here, I had something on that.
We did have just a comment here real quick. Oh, was that one you just clicked on to? Kara's saying, hi, Carrie. So glad you finally get the spotlight on this very important case. She deserves it.
Aw, thanks. Thanks, guys.
And Kara's the one that got us connected to you, so that's kind of cool.
Aw, she's so sweet. Hi, Kara. So I the thing is one thing about the Children's Inn kind of people, or the Children's Home Society, there's two of them. There's one here in Sioux Falls and there's one out in Rapid. And what they do is they're actually originally an orphanage, and when kind of the orphanages changed where they're doing foster families and foster homes, they decided to make that into more of a rehab for mental health for children. You know, kids who have been abused, you know, kids who have some, you know, emotional or mental disorders where they need to, like, that inpatient therapy and to live somewhere. I mean, there's also like outpatient and some group stuff that they do offer, but you know, and Medicaid did end up covering it for him because she needed it. So when she went into this, as she was supposed to go for 14 months, she started in July of 2018, I do believe. And she was there for that long, and then until February, and she was supposed to be out that September to go home. So it just dumbfounds me that, you know, that she hasn't been found, and it's still to this day. So
let's talk about the day before she went missing. So she had some visitors, right?
Yeah, on Saturday she did have her family come in. She, you know, she was having a good time with them, and you know, she didn't have any problem with them leaving. She said goodbye because they started a one of her favorite movies. So, you know, she didn't have any problems. You know, everything seemed pretty normal. So, I was you know, they are allowed, you know, like an hour and a half, I do believe, for a visit. And then they're allowed 2 phone calls, which are monitored by a therapist or a counselor, with parents. Now it's depending on what level they're on in the program, that whether they can talk to their parents alone or with therapists or whatever's going on.
Right.
But yeah, they're allowed to have visitors. And, it was her dad, Cassandra, stepmom, all 3 of her other siblings, and the new baby.
Yeah, and I was looking. I thought I had the picture of her holding the new baby in the home, but now I can't find it. Yeah, there's a picture of her holding the baby, and this her dad. That's literally the day before she disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Aw, that's so sad. She never really got a. Was it a boy or a girl? I didn't ever find that out.
I think it's a boy. Did her father ever say like her mood that day? She seemed like she was happy.
Yeah, she seemed great. She was in a great mood. She didn't seem irritated. She was, and she the minute she was in that movie, she's like, oh, I gotta go. She heard the movie come like starting, and she was like, oh, bye, see you later. So she wasn't having any kind of qualms. She was enjoying herself. But it ended up that next day, you know, the 3rd, where kind of things went a little bit loopy. I mean, considering. So on that day, it's a little bit weird because a lot of people don't know, like, they have so many speculations about this day. Let's put it that way. But what had happened is they were all in the gym. It was her and another little girl and 2 counselors. Now, here's my problem. Is on my research, there was a lot of people saying that it was 4 kids and 2 adults. And then I saw 2 other people saying there were 7 kids. But if I feel like since she was on the arm's length, so that means like the counselor had to be an arm's length of her, you know, to grab her. She was on an arm's length thing. Even though she was actually taken off of it the day before for some reason.
Yeah, I heard that too. They changed the protocol with her just a day or 2 before she disappeared.
So it makes me wonder if there was actually 7 kids in there instead of 4. Because it was in the gym. And what had happened was she decided to talk to her friend into running. They both went. So one counselor stayed with the rest of the kids, and the other one went running towards her friend. And she went out the back door. So, you know, the back door gym thing. And they always keep those locked, you know, from the outside, not from the in. Oh, there.
Yeah, that's the picture from the day before. So this is exactly what she looked like pretty much the day she went missing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fellow, too.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Mm-hmm. And we did a comment here real quick. Edgett saying, as a former school nurse, I had a student with reactive attachment disorder. She had a similar background, abuse, neglect, to foster homes.
Mm-hmm. So it's sad. Awful.
Yeah. So what, after she went out the 2 doors, how did the staff react to that after they
Well, you know, you figured you would call someone, but little did they all know that they were all on a different channel. So.
So the walkie-talkies weren't.
Yeah, they weren't all different channels. No one was called. No one was synced up. So if they did, one or two staff would see it. I do believe there was 14 staff in that were working that day. So those 14 staff did not coincide with anything that was going on that day. So basically when she like ran out like the doors and stuff, she went booking it. The thing is like, you know, trying to call for someone, no one's answering. She went down to across like the main part and into the main parking lot. And then down right by the entrance, there's a cattle gate right there. She ended up tripping over that.
Is now, I'm not sure, we're not there.
That's in the
yet.
Main entrance.
Yes.
But how we know that is because she was spotted because this grandmother was coming in with her grandchild and to drop off another grandchild. And they saw her running. And the grandma went to notice someone, but she knocked on, because all the doors are locked there. So she had to, knock on the door. And it ended up being, the kitchen. And it was the chef. And she's trying to get on the radio. And no one's answering her either. Saying, hey, there's a little girl out here. Yeah, so.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so the grandmother told the granddaughter, who was a little bit older of a girl, told her to keep an eye on her and see where she went. And she went northbound.
Would the grandmother have parked in this parking lot, or would she have driven all the way down to the building?
Yep, see where that cattle gate is right there? She ended up tripping over that.
Yeah, so for people, at least in Maine, I didn't know what it was. We had another guest on one time that the case involved a cattle guard, right? And basically, it stops the cattle from going up the road. So you're not putting a fence up. But
they won't go. They won't go past that.
It's like a hole with a grid on top type of thing, right?
It's a gate, pretty much. It's like a fence in the ground, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
So with those, she ended up tripping and falling, and then got herself up, took a right, and went north.
Sorry, I was just gonna say that you could see how this is out there too. This is not in the middle of town.
And we'll pull out here in a few minutes here, just so you can see how remote this actually is. But so she took a right. The girl watching, the grandmother's granddaughter that was watching her, what did she say she did? Did she
She just started walking really slowly. She wasn't running. She was just slowly walking up the street, and after she was past the trees, she was gone. So by the time the grandma got back, they went back up looking for her. So they drove north and they went all the way up, and then they drove all the way back down. They didn't pass any cars. The little girl who was in the car said there was no cars on the road at that time. There is one or two little off roads. That of dirt travel, but you search everything. they couldn't find her. There was no way. They went up that and back, no cars, nothing. And they both were looking for her.
Yeah, so there's 3 miles of just nothing on this road, anywhere out here. Mm-hmm. Other side roads, but to get into town anywhere, there's...
Mm-hmm. So I assume after 10 or 15 minutes, they reached right out to law enforcement and had them come out and do a search, right?
No. once all this started, within probably 10 to 15, about 10 minutes, they started looking for her. She was, walking out, they started looking for her. But the ironic part about it is when they started looking for her, they looked inside the building.
Oh, my word.
And I had read she typically would go hide inside, they said.
Yeah.
I guess I could understand that,
But you've got a woman there saying that I just see a little girl out here by your
right running out into the woods. Right. Maybe she's right? stuck back in, but you don't want to focus all your time there. If she went out towards the woods and no one is seeing her, then
no one saw her go back there.
Time to that for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, this looks like a fairly large facility too. There's a few different buildings.
Big.
Yeah, and it's little playgrounds over here, but it appears as though it extends down the road here quite a ways as well. Like all of this property down here as well.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing about this is being a child's, sanctuary from being abused and, trying to rehab, they had no cameras. They had no cameras. And this was 2019.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's.
Did they not have cameras? Or are they just not working?
No. No cameras whatsoever.
How could they pass any sort of licensing?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
How can you not have cameras? You have children in there. Children who have been abused. Children who have been taken away from their parents. You know, if they're crazy enough, they may go back for the kids. Like they said, their training, the staff training had nothing to do with runaways. It had everything to do with a shooter. Like a random shooter.
Active shooter.
Yeah.
Yep. So I just don't want to forget to ask this. I was going to wait until you talked about the police showing up and everything, but is there any staff members that were unaccounted for in this time frame, or anyone that caught up sick that day or left early?
There was 14 staff. They were all accounted for. They were all accounted for. The only thing is that what's I found really weird about it, and I do believe it was like 37 children that were in there. The only thing that I found a little bit awkward about the staff is it took them an hour and 41 minutes to call 911. So they went searching for an hour and 40 minutes and never calling anybody. But once you call them right away, the minute you know that this child is missing.
Yeah. And the director wasn't on site, right? They reached out to that person.
They weren't on site. And that's when he was like, call the cops. He actually had to tell them that because they were like, oh,
well trained.
Yeah. So it's like,
Patricia Vaughn said someone could have picked her up. So that's a good point. So talk about the police showing up. What did the dogs find? Did they find anything?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. South Dakota is pretty much known for their wind. Okay. At that point, the temperature was about 5 degrees. It was very cold, and we have a thing called wind chill. You guys should know that if you guys, but it wasn't 5 degrees, it was like negative 20.
Right.
So, her being out there with a gray shirt, some jeans, and some boots, some little kid snow boots, and nothing more. So, I mean, they had her act quick,
So, because she was playing inside, do you think the snow boots kind of indicate that she planned on doing this, or do you think it was a spontaneous moment of
I have a daughter who just likes to wear her snow boots just because she likes them. There a lot of kids just do that, I don't think that this was extremely pre-planned for her. I think she thought it was going to be a game that she did, and
that was going to be my second question was, do you think that she convinced the other little girl that ran off that the employee went to go chase? Do you think she convinced her to go do that to distract?
Yeah, they made a whole plan of it. She, the little girl, admitted it and everything.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so it was all her plan for her to take off, but she thought someone was going to follow her, but no one was following her. So she's like, well, "What's going on?"
Interesting comment here from Mary saying, "What kind of reputation does the facility have?" And that's. Have to wonder that as well. Do they have a history of kids getting away?
No,
look up the Better Business Bureau. What do they have for ratings?
because it is a private. It is a private facility, but the state utilizes it. Now their policies have changed, but it makes you wonder. How long have your policies not been put in place, and these children have been put into harm's way.
And Eggett says, looks pretty remote. Where could she have gone? Must have been cold. Was there snow on the ground? Did she have a coat on? And yeah, there was what? You said that there was like a couple feet of snow like the day before that or just after that, right?
No, that night. They had to call off the search about 10:30. I mean, it was getting dark anyways, but it had started snowing, and that night they received 3 feet of snow.
Hmm.
So, so that's when the cops actually started thinking, this isn't a rescue, it's a recovery mission. We need to find where she is. She's probably hiding somewhere where she thought that she could, you know, hide from the snow. Because there's caves in there.
You said something earlier about how she liked to watch people look for her. So you would think that she would have been within sight of the building, yet they never found her.
Yeah, and that's what her dad's theory was too, that she would see them right here, move back, they'd come this way, and then she'd move back more, and that's how she got lost, because they'd come closer, she'd move back.
They kind of pushed
her. She ended up getting lost. You know, and that's a very good theory, you know. You know, very, very liable.
So there's another theory that it's not a theory. The police dogs searched for her and they lost her scent right there at the end of the road. End of the
driveway. They did. Yeah, and they
tell me that someone picked her up.
Right.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, like, we're really windy, you know, that especially after a winter storm that can easily get tossed over, especially at blizzard.
And the cold too does affect like scent as well, so
yeah,
it's not like they brought dogs in from Florida to go hunt for her, right? It's a local dog, so I don't know how much effect that would actually have, but we'll see.
It ended up being the second, I think that Tuesday ended up just being Monday when the search was called off. There was a private 65 people and 4 dogs were searching for her that Monday, even though it was, you know, a lot of snow, there's still people out there looking for her. And then the next day, it was over 100 people. And then I do believe they had quite a bit of dogs out there. And then they started going through houses, you know, they checked over 40 houses, said, hey, you guys, you know, check around your property, check any place where you think that she could hide. Because I mean, it is very, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And neighbors are very far apart, you know, and so they also wanted to check to see, you know, someone acting a little sus, you know, but.
And of course, like Amber Alert has to have certain criteria. There needs to be a vehicle involved and all that stuff. So this wasn't put out as an Amber Alert. It was 2 mm-hmm. hours after she left the facility that the police were even called. So then local people probably didn't know about this until 24 hours, 48 hours later, right? So they weren't known to mm-hmm. be looking out for her.
Yeah, they didn't even know until Tuesday that they were going around their those houses and the neighborhoods. And I mean,
what kind of
for 2 days?
What kind of wild animals are in that area? Do you know?
Well, there's quite a bit. The one thing that you'd probably really want to worry about is mountain lions. We don't have bears.
Cat, right?
I think we've had one or two moose come down from Canada, but
they're from Maine.
Yeah.
They're on vacation from Maine.
But you know, but it's usually like a mountain lion or / cougar or whatever you want to call it. But the thing is they could attack her, but if they did attack her, we'd find clothes, bones, you know, something, you know. But in most of the time, mountain lions, they have attacked. Don't get me wrong. They will kill, especially a little girl. But at the same time, you know, this was 3 feet of snow that's coming down. That mountain lion's going to say, screw this. I'm not going to go bother. So, but you never know. I mean, it could be. It's an option.
We have a comment. We kind of talked about this a little bit before we went live, but are there any caves or mines in this area?
Yes, tons of them. Tons of them. That's another thing, too, is my husband's from that area, and He had said something to me that there are tons of caves. She probably went into a cave to get out of the snow, and she went too far back, and there was no oxygen back there.
Oh.
You go too far back in a mine, there's not that oxygen. You're going to start seeing stars, and that's the end.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, if she went in there for shelter from a storm, you know, and went too far back, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't know if they've checked those. I'm pretty sure they have. So, you know, and then also, you know, there is the mines. I mean, there's mines from 200 years ago, like gold mines. And, I mean, they're not covered up well. They look like just a grassy little floor with a little wood on them, and you may step in and there you go.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, all those small mine shafts, just there's a whole plethora of things that could have happened to her that people don't really realize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patricia Vaughn says, could an employee have taken her? How reputable are the employees, and are background checks done?
They all get a background check and they all get a drug test. So,
I would hope so. Dealing with children, that would.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And she follows it up with, I'm sorry, she follows it up with, who did she like in the facility or hang out with most? Like, was there a specific employee at the facility that she kind of.
She doesn't. She had an attachment disorder, so she wasn't going to be friends with any of the staff. She'd be able to, like, have a little friend once in a while, you know. But the only reason she had a friend is to help her out when she wanted to run away. Right. Oh, you're going to be my friend today. You're going to help me out. You know, she had no attachment to people. And, you know, that could be stemming from some other things. So,
was that, like, did they do any more searches after that?
I mean, this was the biggest search in South Dakota history. It was like, there's 220 searches, okay? And over 5,000 miles was sought after and walked through.
And no trace whatsoever of her, no articles of clothing. Were there any, like, potential sightings of her?
There was, there's been potential. I mean, there's been a couple where, you know, there was one in Las Vegas that was kind of sus. And then there was also one that was in or Ring doorbell, but when the Ring doorbell image came to the Denards, they said that wasn't her, so that was just ruled out. But this Las Vegas one was pretty I'm skeptical in my own opinion. Would say, wow, this girl looks exactly like her, and I'm wondering why the police did not do something about this.
So I'm going to read this post. Yeah, I'll read the post first, and we'll show you guys the picture. It's this girl spotted the missing South Dakota girl, Serenity Denard. Whomever she is, she is in trouble and needs our help. Call 911 if you see her, the vehicle, or this creep seen with her. This much older man in his 60s was seen with this very young-looking girl in Las Vegas, Nevada, Bass Pro Shop, on Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. So that's a year after she disappeared. Appeared to be making out, kissing, and all over the girl in a sexual manner. They were spotted again in Las Vegas on February 24th, 2020. Vehicle has Oklahoma license plate, coming back as a rental. It's been reported to Las Vegas police, and they are looking into it. So Las Vegas PD did look into it, right? And they said this, they're from foreigners or something, right? They're from
Africa. They're South foreigners. Africa. They were on their honeymoon.
And she's supposed to be 18.
She's supposed to be 18.
All right, so you guys be the judge here. Does she look 18? And look at the way he's walking with her. It looks like he's keeping her from running away or something.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely what it looks like. And if, man, there's no way that girl is over 14.
There's no way.
No.
No.
And claiming, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if the cops did look into this, right? And they said that they were from South Africa, right? Isn't that where it was, South Africa?
Yeah, South Africa.
I don't know who the cops were involved in this, but they need to have their vision checked.
Yeah.
And right? Like
it's unreal.
Yeah.
And they're on a honeymoon. Like, what is her ID? Like that, like they both should have been taken in immediately. Just those claims alone, whether or not this is the missing girl. This is Serenity,
did they
right?
separate them when they right. talk to them?
Right. I mean, he should be arrested for those shorts alone.
What kind of accent did she actually have, right? Maybe he coached her on like a couple of things to say that make it sound like she's from South Africa, but have a conversation with her, like see their visas, because they'd have to have their visas, like check to see if they're fraudulent or not.
And this girl with a hat, like look at her with a hat on. Let me bring up the picture of Serenity with her hat on. Like uncanny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely uncanny.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and having them say that little girl was 18, and I'm just like dumbfounded. There's like, no way. No way. So people think that, you know, she could have been abducted. I mean, there wouldn't have been much time to abduct her, but within 10 minutes, and then you would have to drive on the other side of the road, like other side of the mountain. So, I mean, it could happen. That could be her, or it could have been someone driving through, or another people say is out there is, you ever heard of Warren Jeffs?
Yeah, the cult leader.
Okay, well, his brother, Lyle Jeff, had a compound out there during this time. Very large one.
Out in that area?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have it actually sold it in 2021, but they had a huge LDS or FLDS compound out there with Lyle, his brother, Lyle Warren, or Lyle Jeff. And he actually ended up getting arrested in Yankton, South Dakota, living in his car because he was running away. She could have been brought into that. I mean, it's
yeah. Right. I mean, because we know what those guys are like, right? They have underage spouses and multiple. Yep,
and that could have been young. Exactly what this was, you know, but they're on their honeymoon, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So I do want to share.
A quick question. Samantha had a question. I think that's a really good question as well. Could someone pick her up that might have her call a previous foster parent, the previous foster families she was with ever get contacted to see if maybe she reached out to them or something?
Well, there was no phone calls there. She couldn't make a phone call.
If somebody picked her up and then she called them, or do you know if they were ever interviewed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could have happened, but they interviewed everybody. They interviewed past foster people. She's not going to call, especially because she already felt like they abandoned them anyway. So she's going to be like, she never really had a really connection with anybody except for the Dinards. And then, you know, they broke up. So, you know, that made it worse.
I just wanted to share the page here for Find Serenity Dinard Missing from Rockerville, South Dakota. You guys should go give them a follow. I'll put the link to that in the chat for everyone. But, you know, there's obviously they put out a lot of stuff here about Serenity, but they also do other missing person cases. Like, this is an update. Like, this person was found. Update to this person was found. So just another really good page to find, but also, you know, championing, trying to help find Serenity there. So everyone should go check them out.
And there was never any clothing found, not even a shoe or
nothing. They found nothing, not a hair.
So had it been a big cat or something that taken her, they would have found something.
They would have found something. And if someone did take her, you know, that's where the trail ended, you know, on that cattle guard with the dogs. I mean, that's possible. There's just so much that could have happened. To her that you just don't know.
How far from that facility was the Jeff's compound there?
Let me look at that. I do believe I had that up because I was looking through it because I was like, where is this compound? Because it is, I was going to see if I could find all the mines that were in there. So I started looking at maps through mines. Now I got myself lost.
So while you're looking, Patricia had a question about during the visit, the family mentioned they wanted her home. Could they have just taken her whenever they wanted to, if they wanted to, you know, have her taken out and bring her home? Or is there a certain criteria time frame she had to stay in there?
No. She could have gone home with her father, because her father is the one who had primary custody of her. And he could take her out. But the reason why that she was in there is to, help with her mental health. And, you know, so she wasn't trying to detach from her parents after she's had a connection with them, push them aside, I'm not doing this, and then also with her disruptive mood disorder, because, being angry all the time is kind of hard, especially for a little girl. So they wanted to help with her on that. They didn't want to take her out to do the full program. It was going to be 14 months, and she was halfway through. So, I'm sorry. Now I got swirled. What was the last question that we were looking at?
You were looking up maps about mines and things in the area.
The compound.
Oh yep.
Oh yeah, the Jeff's compound. Not to be confused with Jeff Atwood's compound over there in Solon.
I don't have a compound yet. Once I get some money, maybe.
Let's see. Now, it was recently sold in 2023. But let's see here. They changed it to the Blue Mountain Ranch. Let's see here. I have too many things up. I'm going to see here. Now, it was a really big compound, and it sold for quite a bit of money.
Yeah, actually, I'll pull that up. I just looked up some images of it.
It's near Pringle, South Dakota, so.
You guys probably can't see that very well with.
Oh, yeah.
So, from Pringle, South Dakota, to the children's home, as a crow flies, it's only 23 miles away.
It's not very far. All that is just a lot of up and downs. It's just a lot of mountains. I mean, you can get anywhere within like half an hour, depending on where but yeah,
about a nine-year-old girl, sub-zero temperatures. Yeah.
Well, someone in a vehicle.
In a vehicle. That's what I'm saying. Is you can easily, you can easily get there real quick.
Has anyone checked into them? Were they ever?
I'm pretty sure. But the thing is like you got to be very careful with those people because they have guns. They have their own kind of, so when you approach someone like that, you want to make sure they're not in their element. So what they did is they waited until, some of the men were out, and interrogated, whoever the main person was. I don't know if it was Lyle or whatever. But I do believe they did kind of do a interviews with some people there. Because it was an option.
I mean, I would definitely, yes, absolutely. That would probably, if I lived in that area, because I'd never heard of them before, but seeing the little bit that I saw of them there, if I lived in that area, that would be one of my first thoughts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it almost, it makes you wonder too, with seeing the pictures of that girl in Las Vegas, if, that was, I don't know, that girl alone looks like a trafficking situation. that image from earlier
from Las Vegas.
Very concerning.
Yeah, that looks gross on many levels.
So Patricia Vaughn says she didn't want to be there. Why? And it's Serenity's, you know, that's just what she did. Her behavior to run. Like she ran.
I mean, I don't think any kid wants to be in a facility like that, anyways, right? But
I don't think she wanted. I mean, no one wants to be there, but I don't think she had a problem with it. I think it was more or less whenever she felt like someone, like she wasn't loved or she wasn't, you know, paid attention to enough, or you know, she's feeling down about herself. She liked the fact that people were caring about her. People care for her. They're concerned for her. She liked seeing that out of people. And that's part of her disorder too, you know. It's where, you know, you have been so deprived of everything your whole life. You don't interact with other people, but you like seeing the love that they have for you where you're not involved.
But sort of that middle child syndrome, right? Where middle child might act up a bit more because, you know, they're not getting the attention that they think they should be getting, right? So it's all wild. But again, I'll share that the page out for the Facebook there in the chat for everyone to go check them out.
I want to show them that picture again. That where is it?
The creepy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't believe that they actually like that had to be a fake ID she gave them.
There's no way this girl is 18 years old. Absolutely no way.
True. It might have been a honeymoon, but it was an illegal one, in my opinion.
Jeff.
Hey, can you click on the image to zoom it in?
No, it won't let me. Because they're like all one image. I wish I could see.
I mean, but even that whole thing is one image, right? You should be able to open that in a separate tab or something to zoom in on it.
No, it's this whole thing is actually, I can save the image though.
Yeah. That poor girl.
Who, Serenity or not, is poor girl.
Both situations. Just, you know, getting through all of this in the first place, right? You know, everything that she was going through beforehand and then developing this disorder and finding a family that did care about her and, you know, things kind of falling apart there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine what she was thinking. And maybe it was just like an innocent sort of game for her where she was just trying to get some attention and...
The only thing, and that's what her dad thinks, that she was, you know, got lost.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, there's so many factors in this whole situation. And, you know, and then you see that photo and you're like, maybe.
That looks like her.
It does. The ears and everything.
Yeah, the way she's wearing her hat. Mm-hmm. And then this.
Wait, sits on her?
Like, this tells me this person has probably run away before.
That's a really weird, like, that.
This is not like, it's one thing. It's one thing.
It's one thing if you're, like, wrestling with a loved one. That's not what that looks like. Like, that looks like a control thing.
That's forced.
Yeah, he's not holding her wrist.
Right.
Yeah. That's concerning.
Like, if that's not her.
There was another image of her too, right? Yeah. Man. But.
Yeah, because this is her. And this is a few, I think she's probably like 7 or 8 here, right? But it looks like the same kid. Like, just the facial expression, the way she's wearing a hat, her ears sticking out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I got a feeling that the cops dropped the ball on that one.
So what is the police saying now? The police say that she ran away. She was probably died of hypothermia. They're not going to find her.
Yeah, they called off the search in January. I think it was January 28, 2021 is when they actually finally called off the search. Like, they weren't searching anymore for her. You know, of course, there's some private, you know, ones in her, you know, family still goes out there, you know. But they just said that she was missing. They couldn't do anything, you know. They called off the search. So, I mean, the case isn't closed. It's not closed at all. I mean, it's still ongoing, but they're not searching for her anymore.
A lot of these cases, there are psychics involved. Have you read what psychics have said about the case? Or?
Oh, no, I haven't really read anything about the... if you have something, please tell me.
Oh, no, I don't.
I'm always interested in that. No, I actually, I haven't had anything with psychics. I just know that there's something, there's always been kind of weird stuff that goes out in the hills. You know, the Black Hills were once, you know, the biggest mountain range, you know, right next to the sea millions of years ago. So, I mean, you can find, even like, in the stone, you can see like, some sea creatures and stuff like that. It's really kind of odd.
Oh, fossils.
What you find up there.
Fossils. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so many minerals, and it's like one of the most mineralized places in America. So there's some weird stuff that does go on there with all that happening. I do believe there is a wives' tale about, I want to say it was a witch, but I can't remember what it was. I'd have to have my husband here since he's from there. But there is a main road they said that she is supposed to be on. But you're not supposed to drive at night or something like that. You know, one of those wise tales.
Yeah, we got one of those up here.
I can't remember what road it was, but he took me on it too. And he took me on it at night. And it was kind of freaky because it's really... You know, you get that little fog in there and your mountains, and it gets a little eerie. So it's definitely someplace that has a lot of spiritual stuff with the Native Americans. I mean, it's very sacred. And there is a lot of weird stuff that has gone on out there. So, as of, I want to say this year or next year, the children's home will be moving. They're not going to be out in the middle of Rockerville anymore. They took over an old college, so they're moving in back into Rapid City. And they said mostly because they don't feel like that it is safe for anybody to be out there. One thing, and it's easier for the kids to see their families, especially in the city instead of being out in the middle of nowhere. So that was a big thing. So this next year, they will not be at that Rockerville Center anymore or area.
Gotcha.
So
was there any repercussions to the facility based off her disappearance? And has there more training been done?
I do believe three of the workers got fired, the two that were with her, and then another one. And then also, I do believe that director who told him to call the police, I do believe they resigned. So their policies have changed tremendously. I do believe they stopped taking the children in after COVID. So once they move, they'll start taking children in again. But they just do like the groups and stuff like that for now. I think it's for safety reasons.
And this is something we have up on screen so the people watching can see it. But for the people who might be listening... if you have any information about Serenity Denard, please contact the Pennington County Sheriff's Office at 605-394-6113. Just had to get that out there. So I know people can see it, but we do put this on audio.
I always forget we have audio versions that I post stuff up on here. It's too bad they won't see the picture of that we're talking about with the guy at the Bass Pro Shop.
If you are listening, you can... find us on YouTube or Facebook and watch to see for yourself.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Well, Carrie, we really appreciate you joining us. Is there anything you want to say before we get off here?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me. It's been awesome. I've had a great time.
And you were nervous before we started because you said it's.
I know, I was so nervous. It was over nothing.
I think you've done a really good job explaining the whole story.
We're pretty laid back too. So no, I was just say yeah, thank you very much. It's very well informed. So it was nice to have you on here, share all this, and anyone watching, you know, try and get this shared out because there I did see a couple comments that people had never heard of this, and well, that's why we do it because there's a lot most of these cases that we cover or a lot of them people haven't heard of before. So
yeah,
definitely thank you for sharing this out.
And Carrie, thank you for being a champion for Serenity and trying to help find her, sharing her story. Is there any other cases you work on as well? Or is this the one that kind of just pulled at your heartstrings and got you involved?
This is for my missing one. This was like my one. There's a murder that actually happened in the 70s around here that was so horrific and so crazy that I'm surprised no one's covered it. It's not unsolved. Didn't go unsolved. They got arrested. They escaped from prison.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're all brothers. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's. I've been trying to get people in the true crime community to cover it because, I mean, it's just the craziest murder mystery I've ever seen.
Say no more, and we'll have you back on in a couple months, and we'll cover that case if you want.
Okay, we'll do.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. And thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. You everyone have a great night.
For 5-year-old Taylor Williams led investigators to Alabama this week.
So we have some breaking news from Florida. An arrest has been made.
Tonight, after years of agony, a glimmer of hope for the family.
Investigators spent hours searching through this house off Pennsylvania Avenue.
What could be a major development in the search for missing Alabama teenager?
Tonight, a stunning twist in the search for Taylor.
Somebody out there knows something.
They want to lay him to rest their way, not by somebody else's way.